and we welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, the final Gateway for 2018. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me is Tara Wellman of Birds on the Black and Tara Wellman on Twitter. And, you know, Tara, here we are at the end of 2018, calendar about to turn, and, well, there's still just not a whole lot going on. It's expected to be quiet between Christmas and New Year's and stuff, but boy, the last couple of years, it just feels like this is the new normal, that there's going to be just a whole lot of activity in late January and early February that there used to be early December.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation about how this trend is going to be addressed by Major League Baseball, because all of a sudden you end up with guys who don't have a normal offseason. They maybe aren't even signed by spring training. And we saw last year how that really affected some guys and their performance on the field. Obviously, the Cardinals had a first-hand look at how that affected a guy like Greg Holland, but he was not the only one. There were other guys who didn't have that normal spring training, and it showed in what they were able to or not able to do, I guess, in particularly the first half of the year. So, you know, we're seeing this trend in the off season, but we're also seeing how it has an impact during the season. And I think that's going to have to eventually be addressed, because, you know, you've got agents who are doing everything they possibly can to drag it out and get more teams involved. And that's their job, right? They're just doing their job within the function and the format of the system as it is designed right now. But at some point, not only is that hurting teams and their ability to move forward, it's also hurting those players and their ability to be ready for the actual work that they have to do to earn the money that they're trying to get paid in the offseason.
Yeah, and Alan and I on this week's Meet Me at Mutual kind of discussed this somewhat too, because, you know, you look at Lance Lynn, who is a guy that went into spring training without a deal, and he struggled in Minnesota. Yeah. And then he's already signed this year. Signed a deal that maybe wasn't necessarily the most lucrative, but it gave him stability for a few years, and it got him on a regular contract. I mean, right, he'll be into spring training and doing fine. And you wonder if, especially for pitchers, if there won't be a flurry of moves at the end of January as these pitchers realize that, hey, I've got to take the best deal that's out there now so that I don't look like Greg Holland or Lance Lynn next year. I have to be in spring training. And, you know, maybe the teams are, you know, get a bargain at that point because the pitchers want to do that. I don't think hitters as much, but it's going to be kind of interesting to see. Now, the Cardinals, since we talked, did actually make a move, and they did sign one of those pitchers. They signed Andrew Miller to a two-year deal with a third-year vesting option, I think $25 million total. A lot of different ways, I guess, we could approach Andrew Miller, but just in general, what were your thoughts?
You know, I was glad that it was the 2 years guaranteed and that third year being based on performance. I worry a bit, as most people do, I think, about the ability for a guy like Andrew Miller to be healthy for the duration of a season. We saw how significantly that impacted his ability to be on the mound at all, much less be effective once he was there last year in dealing with what seemed like injury after injury after injury, one of them particularly being a shoulder issue. And those are very scary to me. So look, if Andrew Miller is healthy and he's pitching like he has for a majority of his career, then that's great. It's a huge asset to the Cardinals bullpen, and it gives them the experience, it gives them the consistency, it gives them the added firepower from that left side, and it gives the Cardinals a little bit of flexibility with how they use some of those guys in the bullpen. And we've heard them talk about that with Andrew Miller, that this is a guy that gives them some options, and they like that. it takes away all of those options if he's not healthy enough to pitch. And that is what I think will continue to be the concern until we see him out there, until we see the velocity, until we see what he's able to do, you know, when he's pitching in high leverage situations and in back-to-back games and all of those things that you're going to want to see from a guy like Miller. So it has the potential to be a really high upside signing. It also has the potential to be a lot of money for a guy that doesn't throw a lot of innings.
Very true. Well, and he's not going to throw a lot of innings anyway, obviously, but hopefully he throws more than zero or something of that nature. Exactly. I mean, and, you know, there is that idea, you know, I think some of us, I did, got a little concerned. Hey, you know, Brett Cecil was hurt before we signed him. He was supposed to return to form. Hasn't yet. And this is year three of that contract, so it'd be about time if he would be nice to her and do that. But I think the kicker with Andrew Miller, at least for me, and why I was fine with the signing when I looked at it, was the fact that, yeah, he was hurt last year. He was still better than everything the Cardinals had.
Yeah.
And he was still striking out batters. I think that's the biggest thing, because the Cardinals have just not had that strikeout punch that they need in those late innings, especially against lefties. And he still had that to some degree. Maybe it wasn't as great as he had been, but he's still striking out, what, 11-something per nine innings. I mean, and that's not his career high, but it's a lot better than, like I said, anything we saw last year. I'm hopeful, also, like you said, that flexibility comes into play. And it's very interesting to see, I think I read, I don't remember where I read it, but that Mike Shildt had been around talking, I don't know if in person or in text or however, to all the different bullpen arms that are on the Cardinals, getting their buy-in on this flexibility idea of hey, you may not pitch the seventh every time. You may need you in the sixth. We might need you in the eighth. And so far, everybody seems to be on board with that. And, you know, again, I know we've talked about this for quite some time, but that's a nice thing, because the Cardinals in general, not just the former manager, but even front office-wise, communication has always been a kind of an issue. So it's good to see that.
Yeah, it's great to see that. I remember having a conversation last year in one of the series preview interviews that I did, talking with one of the Brewers bloggers. And he was talking about the way that the Brewers intentionally built their bullpen to be flexible, but also to be the strength of that team, to have the weight of those games really fall on those bullpen shoulders. And in this conversation, we were talking about the fact that not every athlete is going to typically be okay with that, but also not every manager is going to be able to sell them on that. And last year, when we looked at the way that that bullpen ended up built at the beginning of the season, how it sort of felt a little bit thrown together and a little bit maybe not quite flexible and not quite as potent as you would like for a bullpen to be when you have such defined roles, Mike Matheny was not the guy that was going to be able to sell that team on some sort of flexible roles. We're just going to kind of play it based on the scenario and the situations, as opposed to this is your inning, because that's not something that Mike Matheny believed in. Mm-hmm. He was a very role-oriented guy, and we saw it with Trevor Rosenthal. This is my guy in the ninth inning. This is my guy in the eighth inning. We saw it with Matt Bowman. This is my guy when I need an out with guys on base. We saw it with Seth Maness. This is my guy when I need a double play, which is the weirdest, not real role ever, but nonetheless. The point is, Matheny's bullpen mindset was so rigid that a guy like Miller, or having a bullpen with the likes of Miller and Hicks and Shreve, if you read what Joe Schwartz has said about the year he could have, plus some of the young guys that we saw last year, depending on who ends up in that bullpen, the best use of those guys is not going to be that rigid, defined, this is your spot kind of mentality. And I think it's great to see from Mike Schilt, not only that he's open to that creativity that we're seeing be so successful throughout baseball right now, but also that he's willing to communicate that, and that he's doing it in an effective way, and he's doing it early, and he's doing it individually. It speaks so highly of who Mike Schilt is to these guys, and I think why probably the Cardinals were so ready to give him that official manager role, because they saw that firsthand, that he's a guy that's going to be able to communicate with them. And that communication gap has been such an issue for so many years now that it's really refreshing. And it's strange to be like, wow, isn't it great that the manager is communicating with his players? But here we are. And that's the thing that we're excited about in December.
Sure. I mean, and it's new. It's fun. Yeah, I think that, and I think it's, you know, that extra, those 2 months gave Mike Schilt a little bit more footing to talk to some of these guys. I mean, a lot of these guys knew Mike Schilt anyway. They've known him from as they've come up through the minor leagues, and, you know, what, 95% of that roster has come up through the minor leagues, it feels like, at least the pitching side of things, last year. So they had a feel for him, but still, to really have another couple months as him in charge, and to have an idea of how he is going to do this, and know that he's not necessarily promising things he's not going to stick with. That's got to help. And you know, guys like Andrew Miller coming into this situation, you know, they can kind of see, they can interact with people. They get an idea of what Mike Schilt is like. And, you know, I assume that he's kind of had the same discussion of, hey, you know, we're going to give you, you know, you're going to be pitching late inning ball games, but we don't know which necessarily inning that's going to be. And it, you know, it's possible it could be just one batter. It could be a couple of batters here and there, but some nights it may be an inning and a third. I mean, who knows? So, as long as everybody's on board with that and everybody can do that, because I think that's something we don't always factor. We think, oh, what does it matter if they pitch the sixth or the seventh? But guys have routines, guys have ways to get prepared, and if they can handle that flexibility, it's going to be a huge asset for the Cardinals this coming year.
Well, and here's the thing. We've talked a lot in the last few years about this idea of flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. And how the Cardinals went from designing this roster that had basically complete flexibility, where you could just, like, sub a guy out and put a different guy in and move him to a different spot and move him to a different... There was so much of that, and that was intended to sort of help with, you know, some of that rigidity. And it didn't really work because it wasn't used effectively. Then we saw the flip side of that, where you saw these really, really, like, hard lines drawn on roles and positions and spots in the lineup. And that didn't work either. So it's going to be really exciting to watch as this organization transitions fully into the Mike Schilt era, and we see what that all means, and we see how he utilizes a roster and what that does to the guys in the front office as they try to design the best roster for St. Louis under the direction of Mike Schilt. And I think that there will be a lot more options. They can be a bit more creative, but they can also, you know, sort of blend the veteran guys like Adam Wainwright and Matt Carpenter and Yadier Molina with some of the young kids who have all the skill set but don't have the experience. And they're going to be able to do that in a different way than they have for the last 5 years. I think it's going to be really exciting to watch.
Yeah, and it's also going to be interesting to see if they, it's just kind of made me think about it as she's talking there, if they approach the trade deadline next year differently with,
yeah.
I mean, obviously it's going to depend on where the Cardinals are in the standings and all that, and what their needs are and things like that, but, you know, if they're more confident that, you know, a move here or a move there can actually make a difference versus, you know, standing pat because they didn't really feel necessarily anything was going to happen. And so it should be, I mean, there's a lot of different things to be looking for next year. And but it is fun to see that communication and that those ideas already flying around now. And we just have to wait and see if they actually get put into place or if this is, you know, it could be a little bit of winter talk and this idea of, yeah, we're going to be flexible. We're going to do this. And then when it comes down to it, you know, Andrew Miller wound up pitching the eighth almost all the time and Jordan Hicks pitched the ninth all the time or something like that. And I don't think we'll get that way, but until we see it in action, we just can't be sure.
Yeah. It's easy to talk in December. It's a little harder to pull the trigger on something that you maybe haven't tried before, or that you know if it works, it's going to look brilliant, but if it doesn't, it's going to look completely foolish, and you're going to have to explain that afterwards. So the good thing about Mike Schilt is that I think even in just the short amount of time we saw him last season, he's willing to explain that thought process, and he's willing to take the heat if it doesn't work, and he's willing to say, yeah, this is what we were going for. It obviously didn't work, but this was the intent. This was the plan. This was what we were looking for. And, you know, at the end of the day, a guy has to execute or whatever. He's willing to take that conversation seriously and, you know, acknowledge that we're going to try some stuff and it's not always going to work. And that's okay. We'll try something else the next time.
Yep, you gotta fail sometimes before you can figure out how to succeed, and let's see if that is the case. So the Cardinals went into this winter and they kind of laid out three big points, I guess, and you know, to get a middle of the order hitter, to get a bench bat, preferably a left-handed bench bat, to get a work on the left side of the bullpen. You could make the argument, if you wanted to, that the Cardinals here before the calendar turns have already done everything that they said they were going to do. Does that mean that we're going to just run from here till spring training without anything else? Or do you think the Cardinals might make a move of some sort, whether it's a trade or signing, that will shake up things a little bit more?
I have a feeling there's more yet to come. I feel like the Cardinals are kind of maybe in the shadows, keeping track of some things at this point that they're not willing to, talk about publicly, which is most things. They don't talk about anyone in particular publicly, but they feel like that's the way that they are abiding by the Major League Baseball rules. If you heard my conversation with Derek Gould last week, he talked about that quite a bit, and that the Cardinals feel very strongly about how teams are supposed to discuss or not supposed to discuss their dealings over the offseason. So part of their silence is for that reason. I think part of it is because it's a part of their game, and it's a part of their strategy in how to sort of stay on the fringes of some of these deals until they get a clearer picture of what it is that it's really going to take. So I still think that the Cardinals are probably a consistent or perhaps more trusted bullpen arm away from really feeling comfortable with what you have going into the beginning of the season. Of course, that can all change very quickly for bullpens. We know that. But one more arm, I think, would give you a really good feel about what you have in the bullpen and what that flexibility allows you to do. I know that they got their left-handed bat off the bench. I'm not really sure it's going to be a huge impact. And, that's if the guy even makes the opening day roster. So they have all the pieces they said they wanted to collect, but I'm not convinced that they're not still looking for another deal or two to sort of solidify their offseason dealings. I say that, and of course the Bryce Harper sweepstakes is always lingering in the background. I would at this point say that seems very unlikely, but some sort of additional bullpen fortification seems like it's not entirely unlikely.
Well, and you wonder, that if that bullpen fortification might not come in the form of Adam Wainwright if the Cardinals go out and make a move for a starting pitcher. And we've kind of talked about this sometimes, but there's a lot of question marks in that rotation. What does Adam Wainwright look like? How long does he last? Can Michael Wacha stay healthy? As Carlos Martinez, what you're going to get from him? I think you kind of when he's healthy and on, he's great, but is he going to be healthy and on? Jack Flaherty, how deep can he go into games? Can Miles Michaelis do it again? I mean, some of these questions are stronger than others. But you could see the Cardinals go out and get a starting pitcher, whether it's, you know, going at the top shelf and going in Dallas Keuchel and kind of using that as their, you know, put their foot down type of move, or going out and getting a one-year deal like a Gio Gonzalez or something like that that can eat some innings. What do you think about those possibilities?
I think it's interesting because you're right. There are certainly question marks in the rotation. I wonder about the Cardinals' willingness to add a guy who's definitely a starter, because then you go into spring training with like nine guys who could be in the rotation and probably six of them who you're not going to put in the bullpen and you're not going to put at Memphis. So, you know, if you look at the top of that rotation and it's Miles Michaelis, Carlos Martinez, Jack Flaherty, then theoretically you have Michael Wacha, Adam Wainwright. Well, neither one of those guys likely are going to end up in the bullpen, although that option is certainly there for Adam Wainwright. We've talked about that at other times. But if you add a Dallas Keuchel or a Gio Gonzalez, those guys are going to have to be in the rotation. That's what they're going to do. So I wonder about the Cardinals' willingness to bring in a guy like that when, if they're healthy, Michael Wacha and Adam Wainwright will absolutely be in that starting five. And if Michael Wacha is healthy, let me just reiterate this. If he's healthy and he's your fourth starter, you're not doing too badly as far as the rotation is concerned. But that's a big if with Michael Wacha, right? There's this part of my brain that's always going to think, sure, he'll be great till about a week before the All-Star break, mm-hmm. and then he's going to crash and burn again. And if that happens, then are you comfortable with depending on one of those young arms from Memphis, which we've seen be quite successful, but it also comes with the caveat of this is a young guy who's learning on the job, and we saw what happened to that very young pitching staff as they got into September last year and just couldn't quite find that extra gear. So all of that to say, I'm a fan of the idea of Dallas Keuchel. I think Gio Gonzalez is probably more the Cardinals-esque choice, but I also wonder if they're going to be willing to pursue a guy who would have to be in the rotation when the odds of those five guys that they currently have being a solid five as long as they're healthy is pretty great. It just, you know, it's one of those things where you have to look at the question marks, but also look at the reality of, okay, what happens if they're healthy? What happens if all six or seven of these guys are healthy and pitching well coming out of spring training? Does that happen very often? No, but, you know, that's sort of the kind of Cardinals thought process that I could see playing out in them not pursuing one of those, you know, top, maybe not top level starters, but kind of that second tier starters, as opposed to a guy that, sure, if he doesn't fit in the rotation, you can slide him into the bullpen and be just fine.
And that's fair. I agree. It would be very surprising to see that. Then again, and this kind of mirrors a little bit of the Bryce Harper discussions that we've had as well. You look at past 2019, and you look at, you know, as of right now, Miles Michaelis will be a free agent. You look at Michael Wacha being a free agent. You look at Adam Wainwright. In theory, we never know when to count people like Wainwright and Molina out, but, you know, in theory, it could be done as well. That's three-fifths of that rotation that could be not with the Cardinals in 2020, you know, you know, that you have to fix those holes, already having to fix, you know what happens with Goldschmidt, what happens with and some of the others. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you go? I mean, you can make the argument. Let's put it that way. You make the argument. You go get a Keuchel. You figure it out for this year, and that gives you some consistency for the years going forward. Again, you'd think if they were going to do that, they would be harder in on Bryce Harper because it is the same argument, and we haven't seen that. So it feels like a move like a very big move like that would be kind of out of their wheelhouse. But, you know, and maybe it's not a Gonzalez, but maybe it is somebody that has that flexibility of going to, you know, come in, compete for the starting rotation with the idea that he can be a bullpen piece afterwards. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how they treat the pitching staff, because I am of the opinion it's very strange to me they have never committed to Michael Wacha, and I just don't know that they're going to at the end of the year, especially with so many arms coming up, which, again, they have a lot of arms, Dakota Hudson, you know, Daniel Ponce de Leon, other guys, and continuing to come up behind them. So maybe they'll feel like they can rely on their guys, but occasionally a veteran guy could help. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Tara, we've got probably about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to kind of spring this on you a little bit, but we're about to turn the calendar. We're about to turn the page to 2019. Anything you expect to see, anything you would like to see, anything that's way out there that will never actually come true, but you want to put it on record anyway, that you think will happen in the next 12 months?
Colton Wong, World Series MVP. I mean, you had to see that coming, well, right?
I thought that was a granted. I didn't know we were going to talk about that part.
Man, next year, it's so interesting to me because there's so many unknowns, right? There's so much that we don't know about what that outfield is going to do. As much as we just talked about the question marks in the rotation, I have so many questions about what that outfield is going to do and how that's going to shape up, from Ozuna and his shoulder to the weird things that happened last year with him just not showing up on time, to Harrison Bader in year two and maybe trying to find a way to live up to the massive expectations that are now on his shoulders, to Dexter Fowler recovering from one of the worst years of any Major League Baseball player in 2017, or rather 2018, but also dealing with just sort of the mental strain, and we've talked about all of that. Plus there's Tyler O'Neill, who can come in and be effective, but he's also a bit of an unknown at this point as far as his ability to hit consistently at the major league level. So all of that to say, I have as many questions about the outfield, despite the fact that we keep talking about the Cardinals having this plethora of outfielders and there's no room for Bryce Harper. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive, but nonetheless, there are so many things that I think are going to be question marks. How is Matt Carpenter going to handle third base full time? What is Paul DeJong going to be able to do in a season where he starts the year healthy, and can he stay healthy? Can Colton Wong stay healthy enough to be on the field enough to have the kind of impact in games that we've seen from him? There are just so many pieces to that. Plus then the addition of Jeff Albert as a hitting coach. I'm really interested to see what that does and how that shows itself. I'm curious about Mike Maddux without the shadow of Mike Matheny. And then just, like I said, moving into this Mike Shildt era and how different it's going to look, how different the team dynamic is going to feel, because that's been very weird the last few years. I don't know that I have any, like, blazing hot predictions that would shock anyone, because at this point I feel like the big story for the Cardinals in 2019 is that there's so much we don't know about this team and what it's going to look like and how it's going to perform. And that's a little bit scary, I would imagine, from the business perspective, right? To look at this team and be like, well, it could be really good. It could also not be much better than last year. And that might be underselling the impact of Paul Goldschmidt a bit, but nonetheless, it's hard for me to look at this team and come up with any sort of realistic predictions, because I think there's so much that we're just going to have to see what happens.
Yeah. Right now, the way things look, 2019 looks to be a very pivotal year. Again, we just talked about as many people that are free agents at the end of the year. It's the idea that, you know, St. Louis doesn't miss 4 years of playoffs in a row. Of course, they don't miss 3 years of playoffs in a row. They have. But, you know, to have that fourth year of missing the playoffs, and the NL Central has gotten better over the Reds are going to be, I don't know, if they're probably going to be competitive. They're going to be better than they were this year. And
That's my prediction. I keep saying the Reds are going to be sneaky good this year. Maybe not like top two in the division good, but they're going to make it tough on teams, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they've already had an offense. They've added some hitters to that, and then they've gone out and got a little bit of pitching. They don't have Homer Bailey anymore, so that's only going to help. you know, and then, I mean, the Pittsburgh hasn't done much, but the Brewers and the Cubs, they didn't have to do much. They're still right there. So there could be easily a fairly good four-team race here, and you know, if the Cardinals aren't watching it, they can finish second or third again. They could have a better year than they did last year, but still miss the playoffs. And I don't know what happens then. You know, with all the free agents, with all the idea that I know Derek Gould has talked about, that the Cardinals would like to be able to, you know, set their own course, if you will, after 19, not be locked into anything, then go either way. You know, I don't know. We'll see, and we'll see how the rest of this winter pays out, and maybe they'll have a little bit more certainty. But it feels like this is maybe a watershed year coming up, and I don't know what it's going to look like either. I do think this team is better than it was last year, but whether that's enough, we'll have to wait and see. And we'll have to wait and see for quite some time, because the Cardinals don't get back on the field until, well, pitchers and catchers report about February 13th or so. I don't think the final date's out there. But the next time we'll really get Cardinal news, assuming that they don't make a move in the next week or two, will be winter warm-up, which will be coming at us, the 18th, 19th, 20th, sometime of January. And that will probably be the next time Tara and I get together, although if news breaks, we will obviously do our best to have a show. But it also depends on Tara's schedule, because she's a busy and popular person, and not me.
Writing books, though, by the way. Not writing books.
No.
At least not at this point in my life. That's maybe right. Someday.
I look forward to Tara's memoir, you know, at age whatever she decides to write it at, because it would be fascinating reading, but she has not actually written one yet. So anyway, we'll get back together with you soon. So subscribe to the show if you have not, so you'll know when it comes up, or follow us on Twitter. We tend to let you know that way as well. So until then, have a happy new year, and we'll see you in 2019. For Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.